This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The ongoing war in Iraq cost about $4 billion in September, spiked to $7 billion in October, and hit just under $3 billion in November, the Pentagon said Wednesday in its latest report on how much the military operation costs. Congress has already approved $166 billion for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon has said it does not expect the Bush administration to seek another spending bill until January 2005, but the chiefs of the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps suggested Tuesday that money will run out by the end of September. More than 27,000 defense contractors owe a total of $3 billion in unpaid taxes, according to government records reviewed by congressional investigators. That represents almost 14% of the contractors registered with the Pentagon as of February 2003, according to auditors at the General Accounting Office. They tallied total taxes owed by the contractors in the budget year that ended September 30, 2002. An aerospace executive warned a presidential commission Wednesday that NASA does not have enough money to achieve George W. Bush's goal of returning astronauts to the moon and flying from there to Mars. Undertaking a new space objective on the cheap would be an invitation to disaster, said Norman Augustine, retired chairman of the Lockheed Martin Corporation and head of a panel that examined the future of the space program for the first President Bush. Questions about George W. Bush's military record continue to hound the White House, and the White House late last night responded by releasing dental records. The dental records, received among a batch of other medical records which were not released, provide proof that Bush actually did serve in the Guard while in Alabama in 1972, according to Press Secretary Scott McClellan. Democratic critics are quick to point out that Bush promised to release all records pertaining to his Guard service and that the selective release is raising more questions than it is answering. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An Italian woman who had her breasts enlarged with the biggest silicone implants available is being hunted by police after she skipped out on the $9,500 plastic surgery bill. Police say they have few leads as the woman used a false name, but are relying on a photograph and her unusually large bra size to find her, a newspaper reported Thursday. The woman did a runner from the exclusive private hospital in Rome a day after the two-hour operation, which doubled her breast size. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to space we go. George W. and the boys are all a-twitter about shuttling several gabillion of your and my tax dollars into their latest grandiose scheme called Shoot the Moon and Mars 2. Excuse my skepticism, but why? Maybe they got a tip that Osama bin Laden is hiding in a moon crater. Or maybe the CIA now has credible information that little men from Mars took Saddam's weapons of mass destruction up to their planet. Or maybe they're excited by the possibility of finding fresh supplies of water on Mars that their industrial backers can pollute. If these rationales are too far-fetched for you, try this one. The Moon-Mars shot is the first tangible step toward the Bushites' goal of militarizing space. Oh, you say, come on, Hightower, that's too loopy even for these warmongering lunatics. They wouldn't go that far. How short our memories are. Flashback with me to February 2001 when Bush gave his first speech on military policy. In space, we'll protect our network of satellites essential to the flow of our commerce and the defense of our common interest. All of this requires great effort and new spending. This speech reflected the zealous determination of Pentagon Chief Donnie Rumsfeld to expand U.S. military domination into space, including development of a space plane to transport weapons and spy on other countries, creation of a specially trained space force, and the placement of U.S. offensive weapons in space. Claiming that it is possible that some unnamed enemy might launch, quote, a space Pearl Harbor sneak attack on America, Rumsfeld created a new Pentagon post that year, staffed by a four-star general who was charged with overseeing the development of new weapons systems for outer space. This is Jim Hightower saying, by any rationale, Bush's mission to the Red Planet will sink our country in an ever-deepening sea of red ink, and it'll be all the more damning if our country is the first in history to weaponize the heavens.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way from coast to coast. Tom Hartman back here behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone high up in the mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. It's nice to be back from sunny Palm Springs, California. I tell you, Louise and I were walking around yesterday in Palm Springs, and just there's... I actually spent a summer in California back when I was a teenager. When I was 17, I spent that summer in San Francisco, and I spent a lot of time in business in California on the West Coast, and I love it. I love the weather, the good people, but there is a different culture. It really is a different culture. And to come back here in small town Vermont, where you walk down the street and everybody knows you and says hi and. And there's wonders about all parts of America. I really don't mean this to put down Palm Springs. What I mean to say is I came back with a new appreciation for my own hometown, even though it is freezing cold here. Anyhow, here we are on day 212 since Joe Wilson's wife was outed, since some traitor in the White House did this, 266 days that we've been searching for some rationale to go to war. Why don't we just have a national debate about this? I mean, about the real issue, the fact that the United States is running out of oil. I mean, this is not a secret, and it's not rocket science. You'll find this on the British Petroleum's website has the statistics. It's all, the United States is running low on oil. We're importing more than half of our oil now from other nations. And we have to secure our supplies. We have a strategic interest in securing oil supplies or, alternatively, in moving to non-oil forms of energy. And if we're going to make the decision as a nation to stay with oil as our sole source of energy, then we've got two problems. One, there's only enough oil in the entire world to last about another 35 or 45 years at the current rate, not just for us, but for everybody, at the current rate of consumption. And those are conservative numbers. I mean, there are, the hysterics are saying 20 years. 35 to 45 years. Again, these are the numbers from British Petroleum's website, from the oil industry's website. I wrote about this in a book called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. It's all laid out. You can read the statistics. It's not rocket science or magic. So, number one, we've got that problem. Where are we going to get the oil from? And number two, we don't have enough oil in the United States to supply our needs. We consume about a quarter of the entire world's production of oil even though we're 6% of the world's population, and half of that we have to import. And even just to keep that level at half, we're going to have to start finding new sources of oil here in the United States, like Anwar in Alaska and drilling in New Mexico here now, where you've got Governor Bill Richardson declaring war on the Bush administration, saying, sorry, we're not going to let you destroy our lands to get a little more oil. And on the other hand, we could say, okay, we're not going to go with an oil-based economy, even though we have an oil industry CEO as president and an oil industry CEO as vice president. You know, maybe it's time to take, you know, to change our direction and change our policy and go back to the vision that Jimmy Carter held. When Jimmy Carter suggested that we need to embark on a 20 to 40 year program to wean America away from dependence upon foreign oil and to generate our own energy. We have enough wind energy just between the Rocky Mountains and the Mississippi River to generate all the electricity we need in the United States. And that's and south of the Mason-Dixon line, there's enough solar energy to provide for all of our needs. Up north, there's biomass, there's thermal, there's wind power. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But we are not having this national debate. We're not having the discussion. I mean, we really need to have this discussion in America about what kind of future do we want to leave to our children? Are we going to leave them a massive debt and an economy and an industrial infrastructure that entirely depends upon fossils? I mean, think about it for a minute. You put a drop of gasoline in your hand the next time you go fill up your car, and I don't recommend doing that because gasoline is toxic, but if you were to, or drop, you know, you get a drop drips on the side of the car or on the ground or whatever, you look at that thing, and, you know, it's common to look at it and think, oh, it's gasoline. It's 600 million years old. The oil that gasoline was made from was a fossil when the dinosaurs were on the earth. The dinosaurs died out, what, 65 or 97 million years ago? I think it's 65 million years ago. The Carboniferous period, when the oil was produced, ran from 600 to 300 million years ago. Most of it 300 million years ago. Oil is a more ancient fossil than dinosaur bones. And it's getting more and more scarce, and we're not making it anymore. So why don't we just have a rational national debate rather than doing this whole shuck and jive with people, with the American people about weapons of mass destruction and dictators and, you know, quack. Why don't we just say, hey, we know about a third of the world's oil is in the Middle East. And if we're going to have a policy based on oil, which we clearly have with this administration, you look at the Cheney oil plan, then we need to secure the Middle East. And if the majority of Americans say, okay, yeah, we're willing to send our soldiers over to die, and we're willing to be in a perpetual war, and we're willing to have terrorist attacks for the rest of eternity, and we're willing to you know, muscle other countries out of the way and get that oil in exchange for being able to drive a Hummer rather than a hybrid car, in order to heat our homes with oil rather than with solar panels. You know, if we're willing to follow the process that the oil industry brought us when the oil lobby so heavily funded Reagan's campaign that his first official act of office was to take the solar collectors that Jimmy Carter had put on the roof of the White House down, and they've never gone back up again. If we're willing to do that, we should have a national discourse about it, a national discussion. We should have a president who has the courage to say, hey, here's the options. What do you want to do? Do you want to continue down the oil path and continue to make billionaires and multi-billionaires out of the Ken Lays of the world, the good buddies of the Bush administration? Or do you want to jumpstart a whole new industry that's going to make the computer industry look puny, that's going to create millions, tens of millions of jobs in the United States over the next 15 or 20 years, that could make the United States the world leader in a brand new technology of alternative energy, that would reduce global warming and the threat of throwing us into a new ice age, that would reduce the amount of mercury that's being thrown into the air, that's getting into our water supply and thus into our fish and now into our children and producing an epidemic of neurological disorders and deficits ranging from autism to delayed developmental delays to learning disabilities to reduced IQ. I mean, the benefits of this are so clear. Why don't we simply have the national debate? Where are the Democrats in the? Why aren't the Democrats? You know, the only Democrat that I've heard, Democrats that I've heard standing up and talking about this in these kind of terms are Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean. And I sure hope John Kerry gets it, because it looks like he's going to be the nominee. And given the way things are going, it looks like he might even be our next president. I sure hope he gets it, because the end oil is coming, and our foreign policy is based on oil. Let's be honest about it. And our domestic policies are based on oil, our industrial policy, and if we don't make a change, our children are going to inherit an unbelievable mess, an absolutely unbelievable mess. Speaking of John Kerry, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Jim in Milwaukee says he has some breaking news. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's your news?
Hi, Tom. Rama is nice, but it's always good to have you back.
Well, thank you.
I was just talking with my wife a minute ago, and I'll invite you and all of your listeners to go to the Drudge Report. And apparently, John Kerry has a zipper problem. And apparently, he's being investigated by a lot of news organizations about an intern that he had an affair with.
Oh, no.
So John Kerry may not be our nominee yet.
Oh, no.
And apparently, General Clark made a statement a few weeks ago that John Kerry would explode or implode because of an intern. And that's what's prompted a lot of this investigation.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it all comes down to the vote, anybody but Bush. Thank
you know, Tom. Jim, I think I think it's this will be the next media feeding frenzy. What is so remarkable is you get situations like just before the primaries in New Hampshire 4 years ago, it came out that George Bush had been arrested for drunk driving. And, you know, fairly serious charge. He had other people in the car. He wove off the road. A police officer observed him. He was actually arrested and thrown in jail. It was a one-day news story. Howard Dean screams at a conference. It's at the end of a, you know what I'm talking about. And it's a 3-week news story. It's the news media that decides what's going on. And as it's interesting, I'm seeing now articles in the press saying what I said the day after he did it, the day after Tim Russert on Meet the Nation or on the day after Howard Dean on the Chris Matthews show, said that he would break up the media monopolies. You know, as I told you on this station that night, Louise and I looked at each other and said, "Oh boy, that's it." He's going to get nailed, and now you know the media is going to turn on Kerry, and it sounds like from what you're saying.
Well, you know, it's a strange thing because 2 days ago there was an article in the Guardian talking about how Rupert Murdoch and the president of Viacom and a few other media sources sources have been funding John Kerry, and it just tells me that they're building John Kerry up just to tear him down. And they're trying to get rid of Dean because of just what you said. And it sounds like Karl Rove in action here. And but you know, I'm still believing in my man, Howard Dean, and anybody but Bush.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the call. And the challenge, of course, that Howard Dean is facing is that he has yet to get any positive. I mean, you know, Chris Matthews clearly likes the guy and occasionally speaks well of him. But that's it. I mean, you know, it's just like when Dennis Kucinich took on Ted Koppel, Howard Dean took on the media. The media is the dog that you do not put your hand out and you're biting the hand that feeds you, you know. Well, the hand that feeds the American people everything they know is about 12 multinational corporations right now provide about 90% of all the information that people in the United States hear, read, and see. And when you say to those 12 corporations, "We're going to do something that's going to decrease your profitability, don't plan on getting good coverage." Big mistake there. But, you know, maybe he can come back. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I got, you know, here's my confession for, you know, I sent some money to Howard Dean last week. I mean, I continue to hope that he will do well. Although, as I said, just like you said, Jim, I will vote for anybody against George Bush. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees. Some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Bitch for aspects became suspect and bending low as if to hear. Well, in the armies who ceased advancing because the people are held their ear. The shepherds and the soldiers, well, they laid beneath the stars, exchanging visions and laying.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Remember when George W. said...
With a robust package of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief, we will help create more than a million new jobs.
Want to get into that this hour, get into some of these jobs things. I got some information for you from Hong Kong, what the Chinese are up to, and the president's trip to Pennsylvania and what he's doing and what the White House is doing to actually encourage corporations, not just like good words encourage, but giving them money to ship jobs overseas. What's going on? Well, you know, I have said many times, the conservative agenda is the agenda of aristocracy and feudalism. Of a very wealthy few and a whole lot of people working their butts off and living in fear. It's actually a very stable political system. It was stable for thousands of years in Europe. It was stable for hundreds of years in Japan. It was stable for thousands of years in China. It's tried and true. And the conservatives make no bones about it. It's not a secret. I mean, read Russell Kirk's book, The Conservative Mind, 1953, the book that got, you know, William F. Buckley all excited. The book that started the whole thing. Barry Goldwater's Bible. Or go back and read Edmund Burke in the 1700s, the founder of modern conservative thought. That the candle maker and the hairdresser, if he were to participate in the governance of a nation, it would be a crime, an abomination. So anyhow, I want to get into those details. We'll do it after the break. I got a couple of calls here. I want to respectfully share these folks and their thoughts with you on the airways. Phil in Florida is on the line. Hey, Phil, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi. You know, this issue of the intern and Kerry was hyped on the Drudge Report today.
Right. Matt Drudge is a notorious right-winger.
Okay, yeah. What's interesting is he's very selective in what he likes to print. Example, you know the right-wing congressman up in South Dakota who, after killing a man with his Cadillac, was given, 100 days in jail, and that was going to be changed to 30, et cetera, et cetera.
Right,
for
and he gets out during the day to do community service work. Yeah.
Yeah, that never made the Drudge Report.
No, of course not.
It never made it.
Yeah.
Now, had this guy been a liberal, this would have, this would have been front page with Drudge.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He loves it.
But, there's websites on the left where it's the same thing. I mean, you know, it's Common Dreams, Op-Ed News.
Yeah, but a lot more people watch the Drudge Report than Common Dreams or Buzz Flash or any of the others. Come on, you know that.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And also, this guy's got a radio talk show, you know, on Sunday nights.
Yep.
And if you call up and don't agree with him, boy, he absolutely crucifies you and hangs up on you.
I wish more people would call up and disagree with me, Phil. It would make for entertaining radio. Phil, thanks for the call. I want to move along to Armin. Armin in Florida, you're on the line. What's up? What's up?
Reading something on the internet, and a guy claims he has the information and he can prove why the media is so biased the way it is, especially with this oily president in office right now.
And what is that?
The major media is heavily invested in the energy sector.
Oh, yeah, they've all got interlocking boards of directors. Go to theyrule.net, theyrule.net, and just take a look. It'll blow your mind. But, yes, the energy companies and the media companies are, very much so. Armin, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One of of the most important fishing areas on the Atlantic coast is being overrun by tiny critters that don't belong there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Georgia's Bank is a relatively shallow part of the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. For hundreds of years, fishing fleets have combed the area for cod, haddock, and sea scallops. For the past 10 years, vast parts of Georgia's Bank have been closed to the fleets to give the fish a chance to recover. Scientists who monitor the area made a startling discovery last November. They say the seafloor is covered with an invasive species known as the sea squirt. The infestation covers more than 6 square miles, and it could interfere with the recovery of the Georges Bank fishery. Jeremy Colley is an oceanographer at the University of Rhode Island, and he's studied Georges Bank for 10 years. He says individual sea squirts are microscopic, but tens of thousands of them grow together to form dense colonies, and they cover the seafloor in a mat that resembles pancake batter. Colley says these colonies can kill or crowd out native organisms. For example, they can crowd out sea scallops that need to get a footing on hard surfaces at the seafloor. Colley says sea squirts typically thrive in coastal waters, and this might be the first time they've been discovered far offshore. Nobody knows for sure how they got there, although it's possible they were accidentally dumped out in the ballast of ocean-going ships.
Up until now, we've felt that these offshore areas are fairly unimpacted by human stresses. The finding of invasive species just basically adds another human-induced stress to the ecosystem that we now need to worry about.
Colley and other scientists plan to continue to monitor Georges Bank to see how the sea squirts affect it. He says it does not seem feasible right now to try to control or remove them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it was 40 years ago this week that the Beatles showed up on the Ed Sullivan Show. Had we not been traveling, had we had a little more time and been here, I wanted to get a little clip from that on and play it. I remember that moment. I must have been 13 years old if it was 40 years ago, and it was a day when the Beatles showed up on the Ed Sullivan Show. Anyhow, we just pulled the Louise just handed me the Drudge Report here, and I will share it with you. DrudgeReport.com, of course, is their website if you want to find it. And they write, campaign drama rocks Democrats. Kerry fights off media probe of recent alleged infidelity. Rivals predict ruin. A frantic behind-the-scenes drama is unfolding around Senator John Kerry and his quest to lock up the Democratic nomination for president, the Drudge Report can reveal. Intrigue surrounds a woman who recently fled the country, reportedly at the prodding of Kerry, the Drudge Report has learned. A serious investigation of the woman and the nature of her relationship with Senator John Kerry has been underway at Time Magazine, ABC News, The Washington Post, The Hill, and the Associated Press, where the woman in question once worked. A close friend of the woman first approached a reporter late last year, claiming fantastic stories. Stories that now threaten to turn the race for the presidency on its head. Exclamation point, says the Drudge Report. In an off-the-record conversation with a dozen reporters earlier this week, General Wesley Clark plainly stated, quote, Kerry will implode over an intern issue, end quote. Three reporters in attendance confirmed Clark made the startling comments. The Kerry commotion is why Howard Dean has turned increasingly aggressive against Kerry in recent days, and is the key reason why Dean reversed his decision not to drop out of the race after Wisconsin, top campaign sources tell the Drudge Report. Interesting. Well, Matt Drudge has his fingers in a lot of very interesting news sources, and you have to give him credit. From time to time, he comes up with something that's a real story. From time to time, it's not so much a real story. Time will tell. Time will tell. John Kerry, I mean, you know, the John Kerry, before he married Teresa Hines Kerry, he was single there for a while. Maybe this is something that goes back to that period. Who knows? Who knows? And I guess a larger question is, after the national drama of the intern thing with Bill Clinton and the Republicans blowing it all out of proportion, and here we have, you know, Bush lied and thousands, tens of thousands died, Clinton lied, nobody died. Is an intern, quote, scandal, end quote, is a presidential candidate having an affair with an intern, if it's true, going to be enough to sink a candidacy? I mean, it did with Gary Hart. It hurt Bill Clinton. But it may be that the country has moved on, too. I don't know. I don't know. My personal feelings on it are that, assuming that this intern is a consenting adult, and that Mr. Kerry is a consenting adult, that this is an issue between him, her, and his wife. But we'll see. We'll see how America responds to it. By the way, our quote for the day, from Abraham Lincoln, I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts. Which gets back to our issue before about how the media in the United States increasingly is falling into smaller and smaller number of hands who have, if not overt political agendas, at least very clear economic agendas that have a political underpinning. That is to say, a major corporation may not go out and say, hey, we're Republicans, we're conservatives, but the reality is that the conservative agenda, by definition, I mean, you just go back and you look at the history of what it means to be a conservative. And I say this with respect. The conservatives, I mean, you go back to Alexander Hamilton. And I've read Hamilton. I've read his writings. I've read the Federalist Papers, which he helped write along with James Madison. I have a book coming out about this topic on July 4th from Random House of this year, A Return to Democracy. I mean, I've spent a lot of time inside the minds of, as it were, of the early conservatives like Hamilton and Adams, and the early liberals like Thomas Jefferson, George Mason, James Madison, James Monroe, and there were different worldviews. And there is this worldview that says that people basically can't be trusted. People, you know, that the rabble is something to be feared. That democracy is a variation on mob rule and therefore unstable, unpredictable, dangerous, not viable over the long term. That's the conservative worldview. And therefore, there should be classes and orders. As Edmund Burke said back in the 1700s, as Russell Kirk said in 1953, as, you know, we had a guest on from the Heritage Foundation the other day. I said, you know, you guys, you know, conservative worldview, one of the six tenets of conservatism, classes and orders in society. He said, yes.
who we don't like to talk about it very much, but yes,
of course. And so you've got, you know, the conservative worldview is that it is appropriate that there should be these huge corporations that have extraordinary influence over politics and that control the lives of we the people, because by through some sort of Darwinian process of selection, they have been powerful enough. Their products have been good enough, if you want to put a good spin on it, or if you want to put a negative spin on it, they've been Machiavellian enough, or they've been brutal enough to achieve absolute market dominance. And therefore, they have the right to rule. It's a variation on the divine right of kings, which is the first of the six tenets of conservatism. That is to say that there is a divine order in which all things exist. The liberals, on the other hand, see natural law, that there is a natural order within which things exist. We are part of the natural world. There's a natural relationship there. But, you know, I respect the conservative worldview. I understand it. I think it's wrong, but I acknowledge it and respect it. And you have to acknowledge that these corporations, appropriately, to serve their own best self-interest, are going to take the conservative worldview. And the conservative, and a big chunk of this, of course, is that the very best thing is cheap labor. You can boil the conservative worldview in you know, setting aside all the elaborate rhetoric, down to those two words, cheap labor. More and more profit for we the people. So we go back to Abe Lincoln's, "I'm a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be dependent upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts." When Howard Dean echoed Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson, that was the beginning of the crucifixion. I shouldn't use that word. You know, it has a lot of meaning to some people. That was the beginning of the dissing, of the destruction of Howard Dean in the media. And it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. Sometimes. Indeed we do. Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, is on the line. Hey, Brian, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi. I just wanted to say that people like Mr. Drudge and his alleged news site there, they ought not go after John Kerry on such matters. I don't like taking this course myself either on the personal life of anyone, but I would say that there's still Larry Flint, when he went to the story about George Bush having impregnated a young woman in 1968, in Houston, and then cajoling her or forcing her into getting an abortion. That's 2 or 3 years before abortion was legal in this country. He has many sources, and the woman herself admitted to it, but just will not come out in public about it. And also there's a case of this Mrs. Schrodinger who accuses George Bush and perhaps somebody else in the Bush family of rape, and she was found dead back in September or so of this year, last year.
Yeah, although
and,
she was not
the Houston News report was just a summary. Even the obituary was barely a line.
Yeah, let me just interrupt you there, Brian. That the first story about the abortion is one that may have some legs.
Oh, definitely.
May have some reality to it. The second one, this woman, she had made that charge against a number of other people over time, and so she was less than fully credible, I think. But still, it was worthy of an investigation.
Yeah. Some people had said she was an unbalanced, but anyways, I know Larry Flint had many, had gone way beyond the minimal number of sources you should have as a journalist, and Larry Flint, he takes that very seriously on these reports, and there is much there, and that was 3 years before the legalization of abortion. If they want to go that route, and then they want to go after Kerry for, say, throwing his medals over the White House fence during the anti-Vietnam demonstration.
Which they will. Which
well, then
they will.
Better,
I mean, this
we
is gonna...
better stay on George Bush about his guard, his so-called guard service, where he gets these ARF points for not even showing up anywhere. He's off to get drinking or gone to Harvard.
Well, we know that he got some dental work done.
All right, but yeah. I'm saying, Tom, we do have ammo to go after them. It scares me that John Kerry should not be too much of a gentleman. He should go after them on the same personal life failings, let us call it, but we're all only human, for God's sake. I don't know, but I don't want to see them go after any candidate at this point. These are very dire times in our country's history.
I agree, Brian, but you know, it's going to happen. I guarantee it's going
to
happen.
We got to fight back if they do that to us as Democrats. We got to fight back.
There you go. Brian, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I agree with you. And there will be those on the right who will say, oh, you don't want us to talk about John Kerry? Why are you talking about George Bush and his service record? 30 years ago. Of course, you know, John Kerry's sex life doesn't have to do with sending people off to die in Iraq. But anyhow, Ann in Florida has got some thoughts on Alan Greenspan. Ann, what brings that on?
I just saw him on TV on CNBC. He was speaking live to the Congress,
mm-hmm.
Members of the committee, about interest rates, et cetera. And a real quick synopsis. First off, he suggests that they should raise the age for which you can retire and collect Social Security
again.
Yeah. And I don't know what he's recommending, but, you know, I already have to wait till I'm almost 68 to retire. I mean, you know, do you want them to, I guess they want to be so old before I collect my Social Security that I'm dead before I can get it.
Yeah. Well, that's actually what happens is every time they raise the age, they, you know, a certain number of people die and it drops off and it reduces the cost, not to mention the fact that people collect for fewer years.
Right, so. But he said a couple other things that really disturbed me. One, he thinks that Bush he recommends go ahead and doing the rest of those tax cuts, but he also says that they should restrain spending on the budget. So the things Bush wants to cut is all the programs to the schools, to the people, to the infrastructure.
You got to understand, Ann, that Alan Greenspan was initiated in Ayn Rand's apartment into her cult of libertarianism. Back in the 1950s or 1960s, and before she died, and they believe that the government has absolutely no business in maintaining a middle class or in redistributing income in any way that would provide for things like health care, jobless benefits, most public works projects. I mean, the libertarians are the most extreme of the right wing. And the most toxic of the right-wing conservative philosophers, as it were. And they get a lot of people get sucked in by them because they also think, appropriately so, I think, that the government has no business telling us what we can do in our bedrooms and whether or not we should be taking drugs and what they should be. And that gets them a lot of liberals. But the fact of the matter is that Greenspan is a super conservative and, you know, a cheap labor conservative. And this is what you're seeing. In fact, in the second hour of our program, I don't know, we might end up bumping it back to the third hour, but I've got some fascinating information on how Japan right now is printing money at an incredible rate just to buy American debt, to keep the United States from going down the tubes. And they are just absolutely playing with fire. The whole world right now is playing with fire because of this debt that George Bush has got us into. And Greenspan has got to be quaking in his boots and hoping that he retires before the day of reckoning comes, because it's coming. Ann, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I got to move along here. I got Ed in Dayton, Ohio on the line. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello. I just wanted to call you and mention a couple of thoughts I had about this whole Drudge scandal-mongering incident. I just think it's, you know, what you were saying about the conservative philosophy of setting up a class to maintain order, and, you know, it's like this whole aristocratic rule of the best concept or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a testament to their disrespect to the public. And
sure.
And their almost fascist kind of idea of the feminine masses or whatever that they have to.
Oh, John Adams referred to the people as the rabble, overtly he feared and disliked the rabble and felt that the rabble. I mean, he was an advocate of the only way that you can vote is if you're a landowner and you have a certain net worth. He didn't want the word the rabble.
Well, anybody who's who finds that idea remotely appealing needs to consider how superior. Here are these crypto aristocrats that they have to cheat to get their way. And your previous, not the caller before, but the one before that said we're all only human. And I think these people don't believe that, you know, this sort of Talibanker continuum or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't accept the idea that everyone is human. They set themselves apart.
Well, philosophically, I mean, here's where it comes down, Ed. They believe that everyone's human. They believe that everyone's flawed. That it's all the fault of women because Eve made a mistake. That we are basically evil, although all of the life forms are not. And that therefore we have to constrain and control ourselves. And that a few of us succeed in doing that. And those few who succeed are morally superior, and they're the ones who have the right to rule. That's the conservative worldview in a nutshell. Ed, thanks for the call. I got to move along here. This is Tom Hartman, Gary in Colorado. Stick around. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. I'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome. I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
bringing you uncommon sense. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Champions. America is the beacon of democracy for the world, and it's why it's so vital that we restore democracy to America, that we go back to the ideals upon which this country was founded, that we hold them sacred, that we return to them. And that's certainly not what this administration is doing. It's going to be also very interesting to see. I wonder if this Kerry intern thing turns out to have any truth to it, if there will actually be a backlash. If people will say, hey, you know, we heard that last time, we're over it. You know, the president of France was recently, there was a funeral. I'm forgetting all my French president's names, I'm sorry. But the president of France, the former prime minister of France was buried. This was about 4 years ago. And the current prime minister of France stood at the funeral with his wife on one side and his mistress on the other side, holding their hands in the formal procession. The rest of the world looks at this kind of thing and thinks it's just no big deal. Here in the United States, we get hysterical. Maybe things will change. Maybe not. Frankly, my guess is they won't. We'll see. Gary from Colorado's on the line, Bush's medical records. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just get a kick out of your program. I sure am glad that they keep people like you off of the regular airwaves so you can do less damage than you otherwise do.
Oh, yeah.
But having you on the Internet's bad enough.
Okay.
This deal about proposing that it's okay for the mistress and the wife to show up together at a funeral is an example of the sort of moral degradation that I hope you never do get the opportunity to spread more widely. But back to Bush's medical records. I know the liberals have been whining that Bush, after volunteering to do duty in the National Guard and after serving proudly and learning to pilot a highly sophisticated airplane.
Oh, hang on just a second. His volunteering, his father moved him 132 people in front of others to the front of the line so that he could avoid being drafted.
Here's for the National Guard to do this duty. Bring me back after the break.
Actually, I can't, but you're welcome to call back in the next hour. Gary, give me a call back in the next hour. I'll put you on the air. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Questions about George W. Bush's military record continue to hound the White House, and the White House late last night responded by releasing dental records. The dental records, received among a batch of other medical records which were not released, provide proof that Bush actually did serve in the Guard while in Alabama in 1972, according to Press Secretary Scott McClellan. Democratic critics are quick to point out that Bush promised to release all records pertaining to his Guard service, and that the selective release is raising more questions than it is answering. An aerospace executive warned a presidential commission Wednesday that NASA does not have enough money to achieve George W. Bush's goal of returning astronauts to the moon and flying from there to Mars. Undertaking a new space objective on the cheap would be an invitation to disaster, said Norman Augustine, retired chairman of the Lockheed Martin Corporation and head of a panel that examined the future of the space program for the first President Bush. The ongoing war in Iraq cost about $4 billion in September, spiked to $7 billion in October, and hit just under $3 billion in November, the Pentagon said Wednesday in its latest report on how much the military operation costs. Congress has already approved $166 billion for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon has said it does not expect the Bush administration to seek another spending bill until January 2005, but the chiefs of the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps suggested Tuesday that money will run out by the end of September. More than 27,000 defense contractors owe a total of $3 billion in unpaid taxes, according to government records reviewed by congressional investigators. That represents almost 14% of the contractors registered with the Pentagon as of February 2003, according to auditors at the General Accounting Office. They tallied total taxes owed by the contractors in the budget year that ended September 30th, 2002. More after this.
I'm Arthur Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Barbara Bennett wanted to sell her Brother Brand sewing machine, so she bought a classified advertisement under miscellaneous in the Columbian newspaper in Vancouver, Washington. Instead, the words sewing machine were accidentally dropped, leaving a Brother for sale ad. One caller wanted to know if the price was negotiable. Another, upon hearing what was actually for sale, said merely thank you and hung up. Bennett, a customer service representative, said Tuesday she has two brothers in California and is not putting either on the block. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica.
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to space we go. George W. and the boys are all a-Twitter about shuttling several gabillion of your and my tax dollars into their latest grandiose scheme called Shoot the Moon and Mars 2. Excuse my skepticism, but why? Maybe they got a tip that Osama bin Laden is hiding in a moon crater. Or maybe the CIA now has credible information that little men from Mars took Saddam's weapons of mass destruction up to their planet. Or maybe they're excited by the possibility of finding fresh supplies of water on Mars that their industrial backers can pollute. If these rationales are too far-fetched for you, try this one. The Moon-Mars shot is the first tangible step toward the Bushites' goal of militarizing space. Oh, you say, come on, Hightower, that's too loopy even for these warmongering lunatics. They wouldn't go that far. How short our memories are. Flash back with me to February 2001 when Bush gave his first speech on military policy. In space, we'll protect our network of satellites essential to the flow of our commerce and the defense of our common interest. All of this requires great effort and new spending. This speech reflected the zealous determination of Pentagon Chief Donnie Rumsfeld to expand U.S. military domination into space, including development of a space plane to transport weapons and spy on other countries, creation of a specially trained space force, and the placement of U.S. offensive weapons in space. Claiming that it is possible that some unnamed enemy might launch, quote, a space Pearl Harbor sneak attack on America, Rumsfeld created a new Pentagon post that year, staffed by a four-star general who was charged with overseeing the development of new weapons systems for outer space. This is Jim Hightower saying, by any rationale, Bush's mission to the Red Planet will sink our country in an ever-deepening sea of red ink, and it'll be all the more damning if our country is the first in history to weaponize the heavens.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Kirk Skeffman's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. China fixing to outstrip the United States within the next 15 years in consumption of oil, and they're importing almost all of theirs as well. We opened the last hour just with this. Just a little quote here from Vice President Dick Cheney. A reminder.
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserves, second only to Saudi Arabia.
Yep. And in the meantime, we've got this incredible dictatorship going on in Beijing. I want to get into that in some detail. Gary in Colorado, you are welcome to call back if you want. 1-800-TALK-YES, and I'll continue the conversation with you. I wasn't trying to get rid of you. I love it when people call and disagree with me. Some stations carry our program for 1 hour, some for 2 hours, some for 3 hours. We have to reset the show at the top of every hour. There's cues that go down the lines to radio stations that tell them these things. We just don't transit over the top of hours. I'll hold people over breaks other than the top of the hour, but I can't do it over the top of the hour. So, anyhow, feel free to call back up and tell me how wrong I am. I'd love to hear it. And anybody else, for that matter. But in the meantime, let me get into this. This was in yesterday's Financial Times. Shadow of vote in Taiwan hangs over Beijing talks with Hong Kong. You got this real interesting dynamic going on. First of all, if you want to talk about global malefactors, bad guys around the world, take a look at China. Here's a country. Gary's back. Okay, I'll hold this story until after our conversation. Gary from Colorado, welcome back. You're on the line.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Actually, I think it's morning where I'm at. Who knows where your listeners are at? But I know where George Bush is at, and I know where he was at one day many years ago when he was supposed to show up for a medical exam that you liberals keep saying he didn't make. And now you've got medical records that shows that he did make that medical exam with the National Guard, don't you?
I don't know.
Well, wasn't that what the White House released the other day?
What I saw was a bunch of redacted stuff that came from, that didn't come from the National Guard, but it came from the office up in Colorado where they handle the records of people who are under disciplinary action.
Well, you should watch Fox News. You'd learn a lot more if you'd do that. Because on Fox News, they've been showing actual copies of his medical records that were released.
I'm sure.
There on the TV screen.
I'm sure. And I'm just... I'm impressed, Gary.
Well,
Gary, you know, you raised an interesting question. I want to get back to it. You know, when you suggested that, first of all, I'm not suggesting that the President of the United States should hold hands with his mistress under any circumstances, but the reality is that in France that happened, and much of the world really doesn't think that much about sexual improprieties of individuals. And I think that one of the fundamental differences between conservatives and liberals is that conservatives are very concerned about private morality, what people are doing in their private lives. And you know, it's an appropriate concern, how people conduct themselves in their private lives.
Given that their power comes from their God-given observations, it's appropriate that they honor morality more than heathen liberals do.
There you go.
Yes.
to the extent... I will agree with the first half of that. Now, on the other hand, I think, though, the point that conservatives miss is that liberals are more concerned with public morality. Are you a Christian, Gary?
Personally, I have to be. I'm a conservative.
Okay. You familiar with the 24th, 25th chapter of Matthew?
I don't read pornographic books.
Okay.
I have to.
Well, without turning to too much religion here, but I think that this is an important one because it really defines the difference between conservatives and liberals. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Who's going to get into heaven? What's the criteria?" And really, this is the only place in the Bible where Jesus says, "This is the criteria." And, you know, I encourage you to read the whole thing. I have literally read it cover to cover four or five times. And this is it. It's in either the 24th or 25th chapter of Matthew. And he says, "I'm going to be sitting on my throne at the last day, and I'm going to be separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep are the good guys. The goats are..." And he says, "And the goats are going to go off to eternal damnation, and the sheep are going to go with me into heaven." And
that's
they
your
say,
interpretation.
"Well, who are..." This is literal. I mean, you can read it in the Bible.
That's your interpretation.
No, it's not my interpretation.
As you know, the Bible is written in a very intricate and complex way so that it can be interpreted differently by different people. And what's important to me is the interpretation that my own preacher puts on it, not the interpretation that some liberal puts on it.
I'm sure, Gary, that if you go to your preacher and ask him about the sermon in Matthew 24, 25, you will get the same message you're getting from me.
All that I have to do to understand this is to listen to a real radio station that carries someone like James Dobson.
Yeah,
and listen to his program.
So anyhow, you want to let me finish the story, or are you not interested?
Not really. I'd like to talk to you about Bush's medical records.
Okay, well, go for it. I guess you don't want to. I just said go for it. Okay. Well, for our listeners, the disciples said, "How do I get to heaven?" And Jesus said, "You know, well, those of you who visited me when I was in prison, who fed me when I was hungry, who gave me clothing when I was naked, who gave me something to drink when I was thirsty, those of you are going with me to heaven." And the disciples said, "But wait a minute, we don't remember seeing you hungry. We don't remember seeing you thirsty. We don't remember seeing you in prison. We don't remember seeing you naked or homeless." And Jesus said, "As you do to the least of these, my brothers, you do to me." And that's liberal morality. Liberal morality is if George Bush stands up in front of the American population, while over 40 million people lack health care, while we have one of the highest suicide rates in the nation associated with bankruptcies and the loss of employment, while we have over 10 million people who desperately want jobs and can't get them, and perhaps another 30 million who are underemployed, who are struggling desperately to make a living and not succeed. I'm not talking about lazy bums on welfare, to quote you guys, but I'm talking about people who are working as hard as they can, and they still can't afford health care for their families. They still can't deal with it when the one in three of us who gets cancer happens to be in their family. When liberals look at that situation, they say that is immoral. That is a failure of morality. And if some guy, you know, if some candidate is having consensual sex with another adult, I think all liberals will say, you know, shouldn't have done that. But frankly, speaking for myself, but I think I can speak broadly, liberals are concerned with public morality. Conservatives are concerned with private morality. The conservatives want to say, is it true what this guy did in private? If so, we should judge him. Liberals want to say, hey, what are you doing in public? You know, what are you in terms of our public officials? Are you feeding the hungry? Are you caring for? And yes, there are people who are going to game the system, and you figure out ways around that. You develop systems so that you don't have, you know, all these people living on the dole and creating a permanent underclass. It is a terrible thing. But I'll tell you, the best welfare program, the best anti-poverty program in the world is a good job. And anybody who believes the conservative nonsense that the government has nothing to do with creating jobs is living in a fantasy world. I mean, it's kind of ironic. On the one hand, you have conservatives like George Bush saying, well, the government doesn't create jobs, you know, other than government employee jobs, which has an element of truth in it. And then you've got him saying, but by government action, we're going to create 1 million jobs through a tax cut. In other words, government is going to create jobs. We're just going to use corporations to do it. And, you know, the reality is that there is a middle ground. There is an appropriate middle ground where government participates in the marketplace, not controlling the marketplace. That's socialism, and I don't think anybody, any rational person these days recommends that. But where the government participates in the marketplace to make sure that people actually do have the potential to retire safely, that their Social Security is not just intact, but better than it is now, because Social Security has deteriorated over the last 30 years or so. It's not a decent retirement any longer as it once was, where people have access to reasonable health care, where they know that they can educate their children, where we go back to a system as we had prior to Ronald Reagan taking apart the California educational system and it being one of the last ones. I mean, Thomas Jefferson put into place the University of Virginia as free public college education. A marvelous liberal idea we need to return to in the United States. If you want to have a workforce that can compete in the world, we need more well-educated people, and not just from those like George Bush, whose families make large enough contributions to Ivy League colleges that they can get in, even though their scores are so bad that if in a real competition, they wouldn't make it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Nathan in Maryland is on the line. We've got two calls here. Let me take Chris in New Mexico first. He was in line. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello, Tom. How are you today?
I am alive and kicking. I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you, Chris?
I'm doing well, thank you. I was just sort of chuckling over Gary's phone call. Talk about fringe. That's almost pathological.
Gary represents the thinking of a lot of people in America, and I think that we need to be reaching out to those people and helping them to wake up to the fact that Fox News has an agenda. Roger Ailes, who's the director of it, was, you know, Reagan's campaign manager. They are promoting the conservative and the corporate agenda for America.
To be
and,
sure,
and Bush is their guy, and so, you know, it's
as to what he was speaking about. Apparently, the White House has released records of a dental examination that George W. Bush apparently received sometime during the six-month gap that in the previous, panoply of records that they released just a little while ago. And,
yeah.
and the Fox News anchors, oh, their heads are spinning on their necks and green puke is spraying every which way, because this proves... You know, what's interesting to me more than anything else is if the Bush admits that George W. Bush were there, why haven't they, you know, he said on Tim Russert he was going to open up his records, and he hasn't.
No, he's not. He's not fine. He has not signed the form that Wesley Clark signed that actually gives the public access to his records.
It's sort of strange. Just listening to the spin, one of the more interesting bits of spin on this story. And, you know, truth be told, to me, whether what Bush did when he was 24 really doesn't interest me that much, but the spin. If you are critical of George W. Bush in his service in the National Guard, that equates to the right wing. That equates with being critical of the Guard itself.
Well, they're trying to spin that, but really,
yeah,
what it goes back to is this private versus public morality issue. It's that the conservatives think that the liberals are suggesting that George Bush was privately immoral. That is, that he cheated.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think for most liberals, it's really not that big a deal. But for conservatives, it is a big deal.
Oh.
And they're getting very reactive about it because their worldview makes that a big deal.
You have a good show.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Our program brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're the self-employed, the backbone of our country, call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, just even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The shadow of the vote in Taiwan hangs over Beijing talks with Hong Kong. I do want to get to this story. I want to tell you about this. Beijing concluded 3 days of talks with the Hong Kong government task force about constitutional reform. This is from yesterday's Financial Times. The warning, the political change in the former British colony must be gradual and guided by the spirit of patriotism. Yes, that's what dictators always say is patriotism. Tell you this is a part of the world in a very, very dangerous situation. This whole situation between with Taiwan about to pass a resolution, just a referendum. Demanding that China revoke its threat of military force against Taiwan and remove the missiles that are targeting the island. All they're saying is, please don't point those missiles at us and please say you won't invade us. And Taiwan saying that is causing a crackdown in Hong Kong on the nascent democracy movement, is causing China to do more saber rattling. And we are in a situation where our economy can't survive if they don't keep buying our debt, and we can't make missiles now without their chips. What's wrong with this picture? This is a country that murders its own people far more than Saddam Hussein ever did. Just in Tibet alone, they murdered over 1.5 million people. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. And Shar, I'm not sure where we are on the list. Nathan is next. Okay, great. Nathan from Maryland is on the line. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
How you doing there, Tom? I listen all the time. I enjoy your show immensely, and it's a great forum for the free exchange of ideas. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Thank you.
The reason that I'm calling is because we had, earlier in your show, you had mentioned a couple things about morality. I won't take the time to go through them, but I've come to the conclusion that I don't think people even know why they're angry about things that happen. You know, for instance, this morning I read an article that the South Koreans have figured out a way to generate human embryos through the cloning process, which has previously met any other group of scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And despite George Bush's claim that biotechnology jobs are what we ought to be training for, he's done everything he possibly can to stop scientific progress in this area.
Well, you've got the Catholic Church and a whole bunch of others who are saying that this is a moral issue and may well be a scientific nightmare, too.
Well, for me, that's an issue that needs to be borne out in discussion, but My main point is reading this article, the head of the Bush administration's task force for biotechnology was quoted as saying that they hope they never see human baby clones, and that the idea was outraged and they're calling for, bans all over the place. Now, I'm not advocating that anybody should be growing mutant babies that can't live and have a productive life, but let's assume for a moment that they've discovered a way to create healthy human clones. What's wrong with that? Does anybody even know?
Here's a couple of the concerns. One is that a clone would be the ultimate organ donor, and there is concerns that people will clone themselves just to get a new liver or a new heart or whatever, number one. Number two, the whole cloning process is really messing with Mother Nature in a big way, and a lot of people are very concerned about that, both for moral and religious reasons and purely for scientific reasons. And three, we actually do have human clones. They're called identical twins. And they are clones.
And another.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff. Anyhow, Nathan, thanks for the call. That's a tough issue. I don't frankly think that we're ready to go there. I think that we've got to deal with a lot of other human moral issues before we're prepared to deal with it. But that's just my take. It's 29 minutes past the hour. This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One of the most important fishing areas on the Atlantic coast is being overrun by tiny critters that don't belong there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Georgia's Bank is a relatively shallow part of the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. For hundreds of years, fishing fleets have combed the area for cod, haddock, and sea scallops. For the past 10 years, vast parts of Georgia's Bank have been closed to the fleets to give the fish a chance to recover. Scientists who monitor the area made a startling discovery last November. They say the seafloor is covered with an invasive species known as the sea squirt. The infestation covers more than 6 square miles, fear with the recovery of the Georgia's Bank fishery. Jeremy Colley is an oceanographer at the University of Rhode Island, and he's studied Georgia's Bank for 10 years. He says individual sea squirts are microscopic, but tens of thousands of them grow together to form dense colonies, and they cover the seafloor in a mat that resembles pancake batter. Colley says these colonies can kill or crowd out native organisms. For example, they can crowd out sea scallops that need to get a footing on hard surfaces at the seafloor. Colley says sea squirts typically thrive in coastal waters, and this might be the first time they've been discovered far offshore. Nobody knows for sure how they got there, although it's possible they were accidentally dumped out in the ballast of ocean-going ships.
Up until now, we've felt that these offshore areas are fairly unimpacted by human stresses. The finding of invasive species just basically adds another human-induced stress to the ecosystem that we now need to worry about.
Colley and other scientists plan to continue to monitor Georgia's Bank to see how the sea squirts affect it. He says it does not seem feasible right now to try to control or remove them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. My religious morality rant earlier, I want to say that this is not the exclusive domain of Christianity. In Judaism, there's this notion of tikkun la'olam, that we are born with an obligation to heal the world as part of the gift of life that is given to us. In Islam, there are similar sentiments. It's certainly part of Hinduism, and Buddhism is firmly grounded in it. Not to sound like I was being a religious bigot, as it were, or a proselytizer. Health care. Plagued by a growing waiting list for health care for kids? Well, just throw it away. That's Florida's new solution. The list for kids waiting for health insurance has grown very long in recent months. Progressives have called for action to eliminate the list by ensuring that every child gets the care they need. But the conservatives who run Florida have a better idea. Eliminate the list! Under a plan to be unveiled today, the state no longer would maintain a waiting list for the Healthy Kids program. Children who couldn't who can't enroll would simply try again later. The Center for American Progress says, the image of tens of thousands of children waiting to get health insurance because lawmakers capped enrollment last year has been the bane of Sunshine State conservatives. Under the new plan, instead, the state would simply not keep track of how many kids did not get in. What a wonderful solution. See, that's the thing. That's the is that moral or is it immoral? 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Tim in Connecticut's on the line. Hey, Tim, what's up?
Let's continue this discussion of morality. But first, I was watching The West Wing last night, and they did such a soft little pedal for this idea that we need to go back into space that I almost threw up. It was just, you know, one of the characters is, you know, so intimate with this position that, you know, traveling to Mars is a big waste of time. And by the end of the show, of course, he does 180 and he's, you know, going to be promoting it. And at the same time that the Bush administration is also talking, let's land a man on Mars. Let's That's spend strange. Billions of dollars for this. But never mind health care. Never mind this. Never mind that.
Yeah. I have to confess I've never seen the program, so it's my head here.
You know, it's interesting to me because it used to be this kind of morality little play that a lot of people liked, and I think it's just, unfortunately, you know, it's one of the few things on commercial television that I kind of enjoyed watching. But I wanted to get back to this discussion of morality, and, you know, obviously today's the story, you know, about the Kerry situation and Clark essentially, you know, himself going around spreading these rumors in order to undermine Kerry. And at the same time, this constant drumbeat about who served in the Guard, now the Democrats, and when they served, and all this sort of stuff. And then at the same time, people are trying to link Jane Fonda and Kerry.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, sitting here from the outside going, who the hell cares about this stuff?
Yeah.
None of my friends are talking about it.
Yeah.
I know Democrats are obsessed with it.
Well, the media is obsessed with it.
But this.
Yeah, Tim, the media is obsessed with it because for the same reason that instead of learning about things of real consequence in America, we're learning about Kobe Bryant and Lacey Peterson and, you know, on and on and on. I mean, if you've got sex issues, if you've got racial issues, if you've got things that are going to divide people, if you've got stuff that's going to make screaming, titillating headlines, then you've got a story. Otherwise, 40 million people without health insurance, people killing themselves because they can't get jobs, people dying because they can't get health care. That's not a story.
Democratic Party, Tom, is talking about this. Terry McAuliffe specifically, you know, who never calls into my local Hartford radio station, the commercial station, you know, made a special point. You know, he's never appeared there before, but to drum home this kind of beat, and he's been going on, he and the other, you know, I just called them little
Bush's
drum beaters all over cable TV that this is the thing we should be talking about to bring down Bush's poll numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Democrats are on such a wrong track about all of these kinds of issues, Michael Moore and everybody else, that these things really matter to people. And I don't hear my liberal progressive friends talking about it. There are a handful of Democrats, you know, with kind of a glee, rub my hands together. We got them on this one.
Well,
you got to realize,
Tim, they're not talking to people like you and me. They're not. This is not inside baseball. This is outside baseball. They're talking to the people who pay attention to politics. Maybe a total of 40 or 50 hours in the course of a year that they get little 15-minute snippets here and there, and most of what they know they get from television advertising. And that's who they're trying to talk to, and that's what, you know, the vast middle, the swing vote, the independents, and they're reaching out to the conservatives among the Democrats. Think that they are reaching out to the conservatives among the independents by saying this guy isn't as moral as you think he is. I mean, I think if they want to deal with a morality issue, it should be whether he lied us into a war or not. And of course, they're trying that at the same time, and that's hurting him. But, you know, I agree. It's a mess. I got to move on. I got a couple more calls here. We don't have much time. Tim, thanks for the call. Always nice to hear from you. Jason B. in Grand Rapids, Michigan's on the line. Hey, Jason, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi. I really enjoy your show, and I just wanted to mention that I'm a conservative, and for me, it's all about the context of what that passage was you read. It's about individuals giving, helping out the poor and helping out the needy. And when the government comes in and makes these programs, they take money away from us little people so that we can't do our godly duty. And I just thought, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm a conservative. But I also see that as, in some ways, liberals and conservatives are trying to do the same thing, but from a different end of the
Yeah, you make a good point. And that's why many of the do-gooder programs that liberals have advanced over the years, many of the parts, for example, of LBJ's War on Poverty, and particularly you see it in England. I've spent a lot of time in England. And it's possible to live on the dole, as it were, in England and in some other countries. And it's socially destructive. It's ultimately socially destructive. Ben Franklin wrote about this. But on the other hand, if government puts together a situation like FDR did, where when there really aren't jobs, the government becomes the employer of last resort, like they're in the WPA, and you know that it's a temporary thing, but we're going to build bridges and we're going to, you know, refurbish the parks and we're going to give people a job until the economy picks up to the point as a result of people taking those government paychecks and spending them and stimulating the economy. That's a much more effective form of stimulus and a much more effective form of participation and more consistent with that public morality issue that you and I are talking about, that is going to echo across the economy than simply giving more tax dollars, you know, simply borrowing money from our grandchildren and giving it to the most wealthy among us and calling it a tax cut.
When people give, though, then they can keep individuals who they give their money to accountable, too, where it's harder to do that on a government scale, where really, government doesn't want to come in and start having a test saying, well, you shouldn't get this for that reason, you shouldn't get that for that reason. We're on the local level, and individuals say, you know what, you're a deadbeat, you don't deserve my money, and it's a lot more direct, you know,
yeah,
it's a lot more at the people level.
I don't disagree with you at the human level, at the cultural level, but there's two problems with that. One is that if you're using the idea of religious morality, then the whole notion is the right hand doesn't know what the left is doing. In other words, you don't judge people, you simply do what's right. And they may or may not be deserving, that's not the criteria. And secondly, and this is where you and I probably agree, I don't see the point of government participation in the things, in the Matthew 25 things, or Matthew 24, frankly, it's been a year since I've read, I don't remember which verse it is. I don't see government participation in those things as being something we should do because it's in a book, it's in a religious book, it's something that we found, it's the basis of our morality, or any of those reasons. I think those are good reasons. But I think the main reason we should do it is because it enhances the quality of our society, which enhances the quality of life of each one of us. In other words, we pay taxes to make sure that we have decent roads that don't have potholes in them. We pay, and we do it gladly. We pay taxes to make sure that we have a national defense that protects our nation. We do it gladly. We pay taxes to make sure that the fire department's going to show up if our house is on fire. I would also suggest to you that most people are willing to pay taxes to not have homeless people and begging children grabbing them as they walk out of their houses, which is literally how it is in much of the world.
Realizing where people are at, though, whether conservative or liberal, I mean, I used to just despise liberals because I thought they're going against everything I believe, but if truth is, we're just kind of approach it from different sides. We disagree with the way we approach it, but shouldn't we stand back and say, let's not hate Bill Clinton, let's not hate George Bush.
Yeah.
Let's try to look at it from a little bit less of the emotional position, but try to look at it from the sense of, you know what, they are trying their best to do what they believe is right. Even though I don't agree with them, I'm not going to vote with them, but they're not evil either. And that's sometimes
I
regret hearing in the politics both sides.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jason, and that's why you will not hear me calling names on this program. And on those few occasions when I lapse, I either apologize or I get chastised by my producer. But, you know, I at the risk of sounding like this is the Marianne Williamson show, I actually pray for George Bush. I mean, I believe that all people in their hearts believe that they're doing the right thing. And it's just, you know, I have a difference of opinion about what the right thing is and how it should be accomplished. And I suspect that you and I have more in common than we have that separates us, frankly.
Right. I just think people need to remember that because it really is. I mean, we're all trying to do the best for this country, and it's not. Sometimes I just think people forget that. And it'd be just good for us all to take a step back and say, you know what, let's vote for anybody but Bush, or let's vote for anybody but Clinton. You know, it's not about that. You know, it's
well, sometimes
trying to
it becomes
affect this country. You know, and realize that the other person has good stuff, and they're not every program that the Republican Party does is good, but not every part, not everything is evil either. And sometimes you get that impression when you listen to the media, both sides. I mean,
well, the problem,
it sounds like that. You listen to you, sometimes it comes across that way. And I do enjoy your show, by the way.
Thank you, Jason. The problem that I had a Republican congressman on here 3 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting for the answer to this. I said to him, please name for me one program that the Republican Party has put forward that has been signed into law in the 3 years of the Bush administration that didn't primarily benefit corporations. And he was not able to answer the question. And I think that there is, and now there are many conservative Democrats who are in the same boat. This isn't just a Republican-Democrat thing. But I think that it's time for us to get money out of politics, and it's time for us to go back to the way the laws were written in the United States from 1787 when the Constitution was ratified, and most states adopted these kinds of laws. Some of them go back to the 1600s, by the way, all the way up till the 1890s, and in some cases 1954 when Wisconsin finally lost their last law, that say that It is a crime for corporations to participate in politics. They can't vote. What are they doing in politics? And politics should be for we the people, and go back to that. And you know, if that requires public financing of elections, so be it. If you took all the money that was spent in the 2000 election cycle, it's the equivalent of $5 from each one of us. You know, is democracy worth $5 a year? I think so, frankly. But, you know, then you've got conservatives going, what? You're going to take my money and finance elections? How dare you? You know, then we get these discussions. Jason, I got to move along. I got a couple more calls here. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's nice to hear from a rational conservative. I like hearing from irrational conservatives, too. 1-800-TALK, yes. Nick from Jersey is on the line. Hey, Nick, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Sometimes it's hard to keep the train of thought. When
yeah.
You're waiting for a while and listening to all these other ideas, and
you got to make notes.
Yeah, exactly. I keep a few. Going back to your caller from a while ago, the gentleman who was saying to watch Fox News about Bush's medical records.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got medical records and a dental visit confused.
Yeah.
And
I haven't watched Fox News yet, but I did see the headline.
Yeah, I sometimes have to.
His dental record has come out.
I swallow my gag reflex and I watch it sometimes. But. Not so much on him. That was a very superficial argument that he presented. But with Fox News, I'm always amazed at Fox News because it's very entertaining. It's very well put together. If you ever go to their website is very well put together.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to cater towards a certain crowd who likes the Michael Jackson stories, who likes the Lacey Peterson stories, who likes all those. I guess celebrity stories.
They're in the business of making money, not in the business of promoting democracy.
Exactly. So for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why. And then, not all of us are as bright as you. You know, the light bulb went off. Is that demographic are very good consumers.
There you go. And that's the bottom line. Doug, I got to move along. Just a quick story here, and then I got two more callers. Louise just handed this to me. Alabama guard dentist doesn't recall Bush. This from today's Associated Press. The White House released dental records intended to support President Bush's account of his Air National Guard service in Alabama, while several members of the guard unit said in interviews they don't remember ever seeing Bush at their Montgomery base. They actually found the guys who were there. Nor does the dentist specifically recall treating Bush. The White House late Wednesday released a copy of one single dental evaluation Bush had at Donnelly Air National Guard Base in Montgomery on January 6, 1973, which Bush's spokesman said documented that the president had served in Alabama as required. Somehow I wonder, you know, it's opening your mouth is a little different from marching around with a gun. Anyhow, Dr. John Andrew Harris of Montgomery, Alabama, who performed Bush's dental exam on January 6, 1973, said Thursday his signature appears on the record released by the White House. But Harris, now chief of dental services for the VA, says he doesn't remember Bush, who would have been one of as many as 60 members, unit members seen over 2 days. I think this is much ado about nothing, frankly, but it's turning into much ado. Jamie in California, what are your thoughts on this? Jamie? Oh, Jamie Jamie's gone. Okay, Dennis in Ohio will pick you up on the other side of this break if you'll just hang on for a couple of minutes. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Moving right along. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day.
The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "We're under attack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefoot. barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I didn't see this dental thing as such a big deal. Here's the context I want to put that in. I think the big deal, and the thing that's not being talked about, is that George Bush got moved to the front of the line in a National Guard unit that did not go to Vietnam. Back in those days, getting into the National Guard meant you were not going to have combat. He was flying a type of airplane that was not used in Vietnam. There was no mistaking it. That his father, the congressman, and the CIA agent got him special privilege. He scored 25. He scored the absolute lowest score that you can possibly get to even fly. And then you know, didn't show up and then got out early. And my concern, frankly, is the use of privilege. It's this whole issue of class and privilege. If he didn't show up, that makes it even worse. But I think that there's a larger issue here, frankly, that nobody's talking about. Jamie in California is on the line. Hey, Jamie, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thanks for taking that call, Tom. I was hoping you mentioned last hour about you had some new information on jobs, and I think the administration, and whether you might get to that before you go off out here.
Yeah, we're off the air there at the end of this hour, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. I'll use it tomorrow. We'll pick it up tomorrow because I really want to deal with this jobs issue, and I want to deal with it in the first hour and get it out there. There's some amazing stuff happening and some horrific stuff, and so we'll do that. Thanks for the call, Jamie. Dennis in Ohio's on the line. Hey, Dennis, what's up?
I just want to talk about you're going over the various liberal and conservative viewpoints, and it brought to my mind the concept of the pre-birth lottery. You know, people are successful in life because. You know, they win the pre-birth lottery, their genes, their environment, their upbringing, their education.
To a large extent in America, yeah.
Where someone ends up in life is probably 75% luck, you know?
Yeah. And therefore. You got 10 seconds, Dennis. Therefore.
Through various social programs. In my view, charity is not enough. Yeah. Conservatives feel that if you're successful, you deserve it. If you're poor, you deserve it. And my question is, who deserves luck?
There you go. Good, well said. Dennis, thank you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the real democracy zone.
But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month.
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
for the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more. Tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The ongoing war in Iraq cost about $4 billion in September, spiked to $7 billion in October, and hit just under $3 billion in November, the Pentagon said Wednesday in its latest report on how much the military operation costs. Congress has already approved $166 billion for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon has said it does not expect the Bush administration to seek another spending bill until January 2005, but the chiefs of the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps suggested Tuesday that money will run out by the end of September. More than 27,000 defense contractors owe a total of $3 billion in unpaid taxes, according to government records reviewed by congressional investigators. That represents almost 14% of the contractors registered with the Pentagon as of February 2003, according to auditors at the General Accounting Office. They tallied total taxes owed by the contractors in the budget year that ended September 30, 2002. An aerospace executive warned a presidential commission Wednesday that NASA does not have enough money to achieve George W. Bush's goal of returning astronauts to the moon and flying from there to Mars. Undertaking a new space objective on the cheap would be an invitation to disaster, said Norman Augustine, retired chairman of the Lockheed Martin Corporation and head of a panel that examined the future of the space program for the first President Bush. Questions about George W. Bush's military record continue to hound the White House, and the White House late last night responded by releasing dental records. The dental records, received among a batch of other medical records which were not released, provide proof that Bush actually did serve in the Guard while in Alabama in 1972, according to Press Secretary Scott McClellan. Democratic critics are quick to point out that Bush promised to release all records pertaining to his Guard service and that the selective release is raising more questions than it is answering. More after this.
I'm Austin Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An Italian woman who had her breasts enlarged with the biggest silicone implants available is being hunted by police after she skipped out on the $9,500 plastic surgery bill. Police say they have few leads as the woman used a false name, but are relying on a photograph and her unusually large bra size to find her, a newspaper reported Thursday. The woman did a runner from the exclusive private hospital in Rome a day after the two-hour operation, which doubled her breast size. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to space we go. George W. and the boys are all a-twitter about shuttling several gabillion of your and my tax dollars into their latest grandiose scheme called Shoot the Moon and Mars 2. Excuse my skepticism, but why? Maybe they got a tip that Osama bin Laden is hiding in a moon crater. Or maybe the CIA now has credible information that little men from Mars took Saddam's weapons of mass destruction up to their planet. Or maybe they're excited by the possibility of finding fresh supplies of water on Mars that their industrial backers can pollute. If these rationales are too far-fetched for you, try this one. The Moon-Mars shot is the first tangible step toward the Bushites' goal of militarizing space. Oh, you say, come on, Hightower, that's too loopy even for these warmongering lunatics. They wouldn't go that far. How short our memories are. Flash back with me to February 2001 when Bush gave his first speech on military policy. In space, we'll protect our network of satellites essential to the flow of our commerce and the defense of our common interest. All of this requires great effort and new spending. This speech reflected the zealous determination of Pentagon Chief Donnie Rumsfeld to expand U.S. military domination into space, including development of a space plane to transport weapons and spy on other countries, creation of a specially trained space force, and the placement of U.S. offensive weapons in space. Claiming that it is possible that some unnamed enemy might launch, quote, a space Pearl Harbor sneak attack on America, Rumsfeld created a new Pentagon post that year, staffed by a four-star general who was charged with overseeing the development of new weapons systems for outer space. This is Jim Hightower saying, by any rationale, Bush's mission to the Red Planet will sink our country in an ever-deepening sea of red ink, and it'll be all the more damning if our country is the first in history to weaponize the heavens.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
We'll the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. America, American democracy at risk. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman. It's 7 minutes past the hour. There was an interesting op-ed in the Los Angeles Times yesterday by Lawrence Korb. It's titled, After a Crisis, Bush is No Reagan. And he raises some real, some fascinating issues that I'd like to share with you. I'll do it right after this call, however. We've got Ron from Tucson, Arizona on the line. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Glad to be on. You know, you just mentioned the words mass defection. I wonder how Bill Riley feels after taking the stance that there were no mass weapons of mass destruction, and all these people writing into him about how they're not going to watch his show anymore, all these diehard right-wing conservative Republicans deserting him like rats off a sinking ship. I wonder how he feels, and if he can see just how anal and narrow-minded these people are, that the first time he takes a position the least bit controversial to theirs, that they're deserting him like rats off a sinking ship. So, you know,
well, let me get this straight, Ron. Now, when we drove out to the airport last Wednesday, or Thursday, whichever day it was that we flew out to California, Bill O'Reilly is on our local station, our local talk station, and so we were listening to him. And somebody called and said, you said that if there was no WMDs, then you would call Bush a liar and you would disavow, blah, 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 blah. And O'Reilly went into this
tirade.
Yeah, I mean it was really kind of sad, actually. It was this emotional, you know, as if somebody had, you know, it was childish, frankly. It was
right. Well, somebody called him with his pants down.
Yeah, and he was calling the guy a pinhead, and he was just going on and on, you know, it's a like this. And you liberals, you're all reading your stupid websites, and that's all you've got. You don't have that, you know, talk radio, and you know, we control the media, and you don't. You don't know what's going on, and, you know, you don't know what I really said or what I really, you know, bloody, 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 blah.
Right, well, I've
heard from a couple of other people that recently he went on TV and said something to the opposite of that. Is that what you're talking about, Ron, or have I missed something?
Well, my understanding is I watched last 4 or 5 minutes of a show yesterday, which was where he reads the emails that people send him in.
Yeah.
And it was that he had taken the position that he called the president and on the carpet about it. And all these conservative Republicans were writing him these nasty things about how they're not going to watch his show anymore. But, you know, the funny thing about it is, you know, he usually comments on these little things. Mm. All of those he didn't comment on.
Yeah.
He skipped over all of those. But I wonder if he's intelligent enough to see what narrow-minded, you know, single-caused people these are, and how the very first time that he disagrees with them, how they're deserting him, like rats off a stick.
Oh, sure, but he also knows which side his bread is buttered on, and Roger Ailes is writing the checks.
Right, as long as Rupee's writing the checks, that's where he's going to come from.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't want to
turn this show into a critique of somebody else's show. Number one, who I don't listen to.
But you know why I'm calling though. I'm upset when they say that Bill Clinton was a liar, and stressed it for 8 years about what a liar Bill Clinton is. And yet when they lie, when they twist the truth, when they finagle the real story,
and people die.
Yeah, you know, they're still telling the truth, and it amazes me. So, thanks for the format. I appreciate it, Tom.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Ron. I appreciate your call. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937, 11 minutes after the hour. John in Oregon is on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, thank you. I am a, I guess, 40-year-long Republican, and I guess that means I'm a conservative, but I'm pretty perplexed. I think we ought to ask the question, what are we conserving now under this banner of conservatism? I look at the environment that I live in being devastated. I look at resources that we once saved gone in the form of our national debt.
Many of those resources, by the way, preserved by the Republican Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And expanded by the Republican Dwight Eisenhower substantially.
Yes. Tom McCall was our governor when I was starting to become a voter, and so I became a Republican. He put in the first bottle bill in the nation, and he also cleaned up our rivers. The Willamette River was almost, you could light it on fire practically when he took office.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the lives we're not conserving with this war and our safety. I believe Iraq now is a breeding ground for the very thing the Bush administration wants to eliminate, and that is terrorism. Are we conserving the health of our people? How about conserving our respect in the world?
Yeah.
I just think we need to look at that root, and if it really has value, we ought to start conserving some fundamentals.
I agree with you. I agree with you, John. And you know, when you look at it in the larger historical sweep, it's interesting to see how, number one, how the meanings of words change, and number two, how political parties get taken over. I mean, the Democratic Party originally was started by Thomas Jefferson. It was called the Democratic Republicans, and then they dropped the Republican part around the late 1820s, and it was originally the party of a very fiscal conservatism, of small government, of states' rights, and not states' rights in the promoting slavery way, actually. Jefferson, in some of his later letters, just agonized over the fact that he had actually believed that he was going to end slavery by 1808, and he had failed, and on the Jefferson Monument, there's this one quote where he says, you know, if God is just, I tremble for my country. So you had the Democratic Party holding what I consider to be egalitarian ideals. And you had the Federalists, who were nakedly in favor of the interests of large business and aristocracy, believing, I think, with the best of intentions, that aristocracy and big business was the most stable form of government. It's looked that way. If you looked at England over, you know, a few hundred years, it looked that way. And then you had the Democratic Party basically taken over by the Southern racists, and it became the party of slavery, and you know, which led to the invention of the Republican Party in 1856. The first Republican convention was held. Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican nominated for president, and he won. And you know, regardless of what you think about exactly why the Civil War was fought, and obviously it was much more complex than just slavery, but there were many issues there. He issued the Emancipation Proclamation. The Republican Party had become the party of the good guys, and the Democrats were the most corrupt, I mean, during that era that there was. And then in the right up until around 1870, and then in 1870, there was this large movement within the Republican Party called the Progressives and the Populists, who split off from the Republicans in 1872 at the convention and formed their own party, which led to the Progressive and Populist movement, which led to the direct election of the Senate and the emancipation of women, or the suffrage, you know, the enfranchisement of women in the 1920s, in the 19-teens. And those came out of the Republican Party, and what was left was Ulysses S. Grant part of the Republican Party, which became, again, the party of big business and corporate interests, mostly the railroads back at that time. And the Republican Party became incredibly corrupt. And at that time, then, the Democratic Party was also incredibly corrupt. And the Democrats then kind of redeemed themselves. You know, Teddy Roosevelt tried to redeem the Republicans, and he did to some extent in the early part of the 20th century. But then it wasn't enough. The Republicans went back to their corporate roots. So Roosevelt started the Bull Moose Party, and you had both the Republicans and the Democrats being all incredibly corrupt right up until the 1930s. Then FDR came in, and he rescued the Democratic Party and returned them to the values of Thomas Jefferson, and I would say of Abe Lincoln, even though he was a Republican. And then you got and LBJ, I think, with the best of intentions, although I think many of the things he did were excellent, some of the things were not, trying again to revive the Democratic Party, Jack Kennedy, LBJ, and you had Barry Goldwater, I think, trying in a positive way to revive the Republican Party, to clarify the principles in a positive way. And now we've got this situation where Bill Clinton, with the DLC, put the Democratic Party back in the pocket of the corporations and the corporate special interests, and George Bush and Dick Cheney, the first CEO presidents, throwing the Republican Party under the leadership of former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie clearly into the pocket of the corporations, and now you've got both sides to a large extent just saying, hey, you know, whoever's got the most money, who cares if the air is clean, and the Democrats, maybe there's some hope of redeeming them, but I've given up on the Republicans. I mean, I worked on Barry Goldwater's campaign in 64. I've seen the idealism of both sides, and I've seen the corruption of both sides, and I understand what you're talking about. What do you think is the future for your party?
Pretty bleak.
Yeah,
I really do, and I'm agonized by it, because I think the real fundamentals of conservatism are excellent, as well as I think you need to look at life situationally and not box everything up as just conservative or liberal. I think there are situations where progressive thought is incredibly important, and as well as conservative thought, because anytime we advance something new, we have to agonize over what is that new thing taking the place of that might have value.
Yeah.
So it's a much more complex world, and I certainly appreciate your critique of history there. That was great, the way you defined the different roles of Democrats and Republicans over the time. So I think you're doing a great job in making people think, and I thank you for your talk show.
Well, thank you, John, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Darwin in Detroit's on the line. Hey, Darwin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you, Tom. Something you mentioned earlier about the oil supplies left on the globe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, what countries did you take into account and what countries didn't you take into account? And the reason I ask, well, first I should allow you to answer the question, such as, in particular, Philippines.
I'm not sure what you mean by what countries did I take into account.
A lot of what's reported in the media or on from the government, again, like you said earlier, comes from the utilities presidents, CEOs, being on the same board as the media moguls.
Sure.
And they give us disinformation, or only what they want us to know and not what is in is not in their best interest.
Right. The statistics I was quoting earlier about the amount of oil that's left on Earth. First of all, go to Google and just plug peak oil into Google, and you'll find a pile of information about this. But go to British Petroleum's website, www.bp.com. They've got all the numbers, every country's oil reserves, world rates of consumption. You can do the math. It's very straightforward. It's right there. No secrets.
The reason I've always been piqued by this is because as a Marine stationed in the Philippines in the late 80s, early 90s...
Yeah, we got about 20 seconds, Darwin.
There was so much oil coming up through the beaches that the beaches were black. And
oh,
I'm
really?
Like, no wonder we're protecting this so much, so tightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, if it's there, we'll be drilling it. I can guarantee you that. And they know about it. We have radio surveyed the planet, hundreds of thousands of X-rays from outer space, all kinds of seismic tests. We know where it is. Darwin, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES or number. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this. And
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Kathy, I'm lost, I said. Oh, I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us. 25 minutes after the hour, this is Tom Hartman. Lawrence Korb yesterday in the Los Angeles Times pointed out some differences, and I think this is significant. This is something that I knew this stuff, but I hadn't seen it distilled so well, and I want to share it with you. I think it's really worth the time. Lawrence Korb wrote about how in 1983, you'll recall, there was a terrorist attack on the Marine barracks in Lebanon. And in 1986, there was the Iran-Contra scandal. The administration of Ronald Reagan had two major deals, two big deals. One was sort of like a 9/11 attack. It wasn't certainly of the proportions, but 241 U.S. military personnel died, as I recall. A truck with 12,000 pounds of TNT. Crashed through the barrier there and blew the thing up. And Korb points out, and you know, similarly, we were attacked at 9/11. Now, you could say that the 9/11 attack was even larger than losing 241 Marines in Lebanon, and therefore more deserving of an immediate investigation. I mean, doesn't that make sense? And here's what Korb says Reagan's response was to this. Within 2 weeks, this is of the bombing in Lebanon, of the terrorist attack against America. Within 2 weeks, Reagan had appointed and convened a commission to conduct a broad-ranging inquiry into not only focused on the attack, but also on the mission of the U.S. forces in Lebanon itself. Less than 2 months after the attack, the five-member commission, headed by retired Admiral Robert Long, and including a high-level official from the Carter administration, had issued its report. 2 months later. It not only criticized the administration and the Department of Defense for lack of preparedness in dealing with terrorism, but it also called into question the mission itself, the rules of engagement for the troops, and the effectiveness of the chain of command. Lawrence Korb writes that on December 27, 1983, Reagan held a news conference to address questions on the report, and by the first week of February, he had withdrawn our forces from Lebanon, and the Secretary of Defense had implemented several of the report's recommendations, including rebuking the on-scene commanders and their superiors in the chain of command and providing more anti-terrorism training. In other words, they responded immediately. Similarly, with the Iran-Contra affair, immediately, as in November 22, 1986, within 10 days of the Iran-Contra affair becoming public, Reagan convened an investigative body. It was headed up by John Tower, a Republican senator, Edmund Muskie, the former Democratic senator, and Brent Scowcroft, a former Secretary of State, and President Ford's national security advisor, some who would really know. And the Tower Commission completed its report in 3 months. The report criticized the initiative, the president's role in it, his management style, and the conduct of several of his top officials, including his chief of staff and the director of the CIA. Within days of issuance of the report, the president had named a new chief of staff and a new CIA director, and had acknowledged mistakes and accepted full responsibility in an address to the nation. Now, I'm no fan of Ronald Reagan, but I'll tell you broadly, or at least of his policies, let's say. But I'll tell you, that
That was leadership. And what do we have now? We have them, you know, covering up, hiding, trying to keep information from the 9/11 Commission, setting up a commission to look into the lack of WMDs that's going to take over a year, well past the election cycle. This was done by the Reagan administration in 2 months and 3 months, respectively. Two major issues. And the guy at the top said, yes, and the buck stops here, and I'm taking responsibility for it, which is not something that we have heard come out of the lips of George W. Bush. It's time for a change, my friends, in November. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
One of the most important fishing areas on the Atlantic coast is being overrun by tiny critters that don't belong there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Georgia's Bank is a relatively shallow part of the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. For hundreds of years, fishing fleets have combed the area for cod, haddock, and sea scallops. For the past 10 years, vast parts of Georgia's Bank have been closed to the fleets to give the fish a chance to recover. Scientists who monitor the area made a startling discovery last November. They say the seafloor is covered with an invasive species known as the sea squirt. The infestation covers more than 6 square miles, and it could interfere with the recovery of the Georgia's Bank fishery. Jeremy Colley is an oceanographer at the University of Rhode Island, and he's studied Georgia's Bank for 10 years. He says individual sea squirts are microscopic, but tens of thousands of them grow together to form dense colonies, and they cover the seafloor in a mat that resembles pancake batter. Colley says these colonies can kill or crowd out native organisms. For example, they can crowd out sea scallops that need to get a footing on hard surfaces at the seafloor. Colley says sea squirts typically thrive in coastal waters, and this might be the first time they've been discovered far offshore. Nobody knows for sure how they got there, although it's possible they were accidentally dumped out in the ballast of ocean-going ships.
Up until now, we've felt that these offshore areas are fairly unimpacted by human stresses. The finding of invasive species just basically adds another human-induced stress to the ecosystem that we now need to worry about.
Colley and other scientists plan to continue to monitor Georgia's Bank to see how the sea squirts affect it. He says it does not seem feasible right now to try to control or remove them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27. $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I can see very well. There's a boy. Broken back. see it very well. There's a joke in the knowing very well. It's one of those.
And welcome back. It's the place where smart people get their news. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Our chat room alive and hopping. You can get there by going to tomhartman.com. You'll find also archives of the program and a live stream of the program. And I encourage you to have that as your starting point to search for the stream, because I believe after March 1st, the stream is going to be coming from radiopower.org, and we'll see how it works out. But it's going to be there. It's going to be there, but you'll find it off tomhartman.com. Townhall.com. This Robert Novak. I said a few days ago, and by the way, if you have thoughts on this, and particularly on this issue with John Kerry or George Bush, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number here, 25 minutes before the hour, in the third hour of our program. Townhall.com, the conservative public conservative website, and Robert Novak, the guy who leaked Valerie Plame's name, who he himself may end up facing some sort of criminal charges on this, but he's still out there, he's still on crossfire, he's still writing his stuff, and talk about representing the conservative establishment or the Republican establishment. See, what happened, and going back to John from Oregon and his thoughts, the Republican Party of Dwight Eisenhower is unrecognizable today. And in the 1964 convention, and I've got audio clips of this around someplace, but I'll just tell you about it. In the 64 convention, Nelson Rockefeller got up and talked about how, and he represented the Dwight Eisenhower arm of the Republican Party, the what we would today call moderates, what today would be the George Voinovich Olympia Snow Republicans, what was the Jim Jeffords Republican before he became an independent over the No Child Left Behind Act, and what you had was he got up, Nelson Rockefeller got up in front of the convention and talked about how he was getting death threats. He was getting calls in the middle of the night. And this was over a plank in the platform calling for the implementation of a Civil Rights Act and full integration of the United States. And that he was getting death threats, and that he was getting, bloody, bloody. And he got booed down. He got booed down. And there was another plank calling for social justice, and both of these were defeated in the Republican platform. And then Barry Goldwater got up and gave his famous speech that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and so on. And the group went nuts, and they nominated him, and he lost because he was just too far to the right. And although it's interesting, I sitting next to the desk here, I've got Goldwater's final autobiography, With No Apologies. Conscience of a Conservative was a reasonable book. With No Apologies is really the book if you want to get an insight into Barry Goldwater. And the guy was... he had been made crazy by the Soviet Union. I mean, he was terrified. So many people were. So many of us were, of Americans, and believed the PR of the Soviets. Well, and the reality is, I mean, they were sitting on all these nuclear weapons. They still are, which is a whole other issue. But anyhow, the conservatives within the party, the Moonies, Reverend Moon, of course, controls a large chunk of the conservative portion of the Republican Party through his control of the Washington Times, the only newspaper read in the White House, and his ownership of the United Press International. And you see, and Tony Snow, of course, worked for him, and now he's got his own radio show out there. So you got the Moonies. You've got the NRA beyond the, you know, the NRA presents itself as a National Rifle Association, as a membership organization working for the average hunter. And I think most hunters and most people who are members of the NRA actually believe that. But just like the AARP, which presents itself as a membership organization for retired persons, is actually in the business of selling insurance. And that's where much of their money comes from. And William Minnelli, you know, the CEO of the thing, has you know, he authored the foreword to Newt Gingrich's book on quote reforming end quote healthcare, and his ad agency, Minnelli's ad agency, was the ad agency that came up with the Harry and Louise ads that sunk national healthcare during the Clinton administration. And just like AARP is really a lobbying organization, it's a commercial enterprise now, even though it's got a nonprofit status. It's a commercial enterprise, and their main income is selling insurance. And similarly, the National Rifle Association is, to a large extent, a commercial enterprise, and their main shtick is getting money from and defending the interests of and promoting the interests of the gun manufacturers, which is a huge industry with billions of dollars. And this is kind of a trade industry for them. So what you had was the Republican Party, the party of Eisenhower, the party that many people, many well-intentioned Republicans remember, was moving along. Goldwater and his bunch tried to take it over, and their main thing was reinventing McCarthyism, the anti-communist hysteria, which was, as I said, I think Goldwater's blind side. I think he was, as much as the Soviets presented a threat to the United States, they were also internally crumbling, and the CIA knew it. They were predicting the fall of the Soviet Union long before Ronald Reagan came along, and predicted it within 2 years of when it happened, accurately, you know, just from internal rot. And anybody who'd ever been there could tell you that that's what was going on. But anyhow, so the conservatives, quote-unquote, or the corporate interests, let's say, the big interests, the big special interests, they decided to take over the party. And it took them a few years. It took them through the Carter administration, and they got a good front man in the form of Ronald Reagan, and they got a good company man in George H.W. Bush. And they had to engage in a little subterfuge, you know, making a deal with the Iranians to hold the American hostages long enough to make Carter look like an impotent fool who could not bring back, you know, who couldn't enforce American power and couldn't bring back the hostages. And Jimmy Carter played right into their hands by going on TV every day and praying and asking people to remember, you know, light candles and all the, you know, just making it seem more and more like he was in agony about it, which he was. I mean, we saw the honest nature of this man, a good man, Jimmy Carter. One, in my opinion, one of the best presidents this country has had in its history, frankly. And so George Bush goes over and cuts a deal with the Ayatollah Khomeini that he will provide him with the missiles and spare parts that they so desperately need for their war with Iraq. Because we had supplied all that stuff to the Shah. If in exchange for that, he'll hold the hostages until the election is over. And of course, they released the hostages to the hour, to the minute, in fact, as Ronald Reagan was being sworn into office. I mean, you want a pretty obvious quid pro quo there. And there have been books written about it. Barbara Honegger's book, October Surprise, is probably the best and the most well-documented. And it's interesting that when Congress actually did an investigation of the Iran-Contra affair, the Republicans were successful in writing into the legislation that authorized the investigation that no investigation of events prior to the election could be taken. So this has never been officially investigated. It's just, you know, all we have are whistleblowers. Bill Casey, the head of the CIA, when he was called to testify, he told his lawyer the day before that he was going to blow the whistle. He was going to spill the beans. Barbara Honegger, again, Gary Sick also documents this. Barbara Honegger, who worked in the White House at the time, documents this in her book, October Surprise. And an hour before he was to go testify, suddenly he had a seizure in his office at the CIA. They hustled him off to Walter Reed. They opened up his brain. They removed the left temporal lobe of the brain, which is the part of the brain that's responsible for speech. This is the brain equivalent of cutting somebody's tongue out. And he ultimately, a few months later, died from complications of the surgery. And they said, oh, it was a tumor and all this kind of stuff. You can draw your own conclusions from this. It may have all been coincidence. But the bottom line is that the conservatives took over the Republican Party, and then the conservatives were taken over by corporations, by corporate interests, by very, very large multinational corporate interests. And Dick Cheney and Halliburton is a great example. I mean, the Enronization of Halliburton. When Dick Cheney was president of Halliburton, he created some 90 offshore divisions headquartered in Turks and Caicos and the Caymans and the Bahamas so that they didn't have to pay United States taxes, number one, and perhaps most important, so that they could continue to sell equipment to Iran, to Iraq, to Libya, to states that were prohibited. And we know that this was done under the guidance of Dick Cheney. We know that he put this stuff together. I mean, you know, it's not a secret. This is not some liberal conspiracy I'm laying out here. The you know, where he may have stepped over the line is authorizing bribes. This is what the French are looking into. And not just the French. Several governments are looking into it, whose governments were affected by the fact that Halliburton was paying bribes to corrupt governments, for example, in Nigeria. So you've got the takeover of the Democratic Party by these guys, and now you've got the takeover of the Republican Party by these guys, by these corporate... We got to stop referring to them as special interests in the press and just call them what they are. Corporate interests, multinational corporate aristocracies. The multinational corporate aristocracy has taken over American politics. They have overtly and completely completed the coup of the Republican Party, along with Jerry Falwell, who was bailed out to the tune of several hundred million dollars by Reverend Moon, which is an interesting mixture there. Reverend Moon and Jerry Falwell in bed together, and Pat Robertson. And Pat Robertson, you know, making his money on his gold mines in Africa. In the middle of wars and you know, supporting Samuel Taylor and all that stuff. Anyhow, you got this takeover of the Republican Party, and then through the Democratic Leadership Council, the possibility of the takeover of the Democratic Party. And this is where I think Bill Clinton lost it. Signing the Telecommunications Act of 1996, allowing all these huge media mergers. And signing NAFTA and GATT, not just signing NAFTA and GATT. Bill Clinton worked to push those things through. He worked his butt off. He was making phone calls in the middle of the night. He was calling congressmen. He was making deals. He was offering, if you vote for this, I'll give you that. He made it happen. More than half of the American public was opposed to NAFTA and GATT. They had heard the debates. They, you know, they saw Ross Perot pull up his charts and his graphs. Yeah, he was a cranky, strange little guy, but he was right. And we have heard now that great sucking sound being jobs vanishing from the United States as a result of Bill Clinton signing NAFTA and GATT. And the DLC is still around, and I can tell you, they don't like Howard Dean. They absolutely don't like Howard Dean. So anyhow, you've got the Republican Party that's been completely co-opted, with the exception of perhaps two or three people in Congress, Snow and Voinovich. Finally, Jim Jeffords, it was just too much for him. And I don't know how long Olympia Snow is going to last, or George Voinovich. And you've got the Democratic Party that is, really, there's a battle going on for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. And you've got there are still a few conservative Republicans, by the way, who took seriously the rhetoric of the Gingrich Revolution. And most of them have term limited themselves back out of the party. But there's a few who said, you know, this is more important, I'll stick around. There's a few, Ron Paul down in Texas, who, you know, I disagree with on many issues, but he's a man of his principles. And in the Democratic Party, there are quite a few people who are people of their principles. Bernie Sanders, one of my heroes, Dennis Kucinich, and the John Conyers, the many members of the Progressive Caucus, some truly brilliant people in the Democratic Party who haven't yet completely sold out. But the pressure is building. And if we want to change that, we have to have some sort of public financing of elections, or we have to go back and change the Telecommunications Act and go back to our FCC rules and say, if you are going to use the public airwaves, if you're going to make use of this airspace, which is ours, it's we the peoples, it's the commons, or if you're going to make use of the cable space. They say, cable? No, cable doesn't go out over the air. No, but it uses public right-of-ways. The cables are carried along streets that are maintained by us. So whether it's airwaves or cableways, you have to give back. And the way you have to give back is free media for political debate. And I think combining those two things and getting money out of politics would solve the situation. Anyhow, all of that was a long way of giving a preface to this thing that Robert Novak wrote, which I'll share with you right after this break, this strike two for Bush. I think this takeover is starting to come back to haunt the Republican Party in a big way, and maybe there's some hope. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Mulder
Gillette Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah?
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals.
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We are awakened, restored, and renewed. The bonds of desire have led me to you. The heat of the questions that linger and stir. It enfolds us, a place to be cured, salvation and rescue, and the one thing of which I am sure.
And welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Okay, here's the thing. On townhall.com, Robert Novak. And okay, this is the Republican establishment. And strike one, he says, three strikes and he's out. And Bush has had two strikes. Strike one was his humdrum State of the Union address. And he says, for now, the president is in political retreat. But then he gets into this meet the press thing. The conservatives are very concerned about it. See, I think, unfortunately, there are still folks out there on the Republican side who assume that George Bush is a really intelligent guy who can think on his feet and command a lot of detail and you know, sort of like Bill Clinton could or like Richard Nixon could. Or would be very glib like Ronald Reagan was. And the reality is he's none of those things. He's a very kinesthetic guy. He stores his information in his feelings. You could tell it by watching him in Russert. He would look down or he would look off to the side. He'd have to have a sense of something before he could talk about it. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people are like that. It doesn't necessarily mean they're stupid, but it doesn't make them the very best debaters, for example. So here we have Robert Novak. The Bush White House is cloistered, where even Bush aides seem restrained from debating strategy behind closed doors. In other words, you got a king who won't let anybody tell him he's not wearing any clothes. It's a real problem. The private Republican complaint, Novak says, is not with Russert, but with Bush. It was thought the president would have sat down with carefully structured language to defend himself or even produce news. Yet the newsiest tidbit contained in excerpts of the taped interview distributed Sunday was the unsurprising declaration that he would not fire George Tenet. And he says, it seems difficult for an incumbent president to lose amid economic recovery, but George W. Bush is showing it might be possible. This is how Robert Novak ends his article. Amazing. Thanks to Shar Jones for engineering our program today, to Louise Hartman for producing it, to Brad Walrod for engineering and editing our music. Thanks to the folks in the chat room for showing up and hanging out. And thanks to you for listening. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Tom Hartman. I'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America.